To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are joined by Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. Happy to be with you.
Ron, you've been following Congress for a long time. If you don't mind, let us jump into this shutdown. Everyone is predicting that it'll go another week because that is the last paycheck that federal employees will receive at the end of this week. And then I guess the pressure's on, right?
Well, yeah, it will be. And it, you know, this is typical. We've seen this many, many times. Sometimes it's averted. Sometimes it starts and stops. But yeah, there's usually some reason to create some added pressure to resolve it. And I think that's probably what it is. I don't know if anybody, you know, usually nobody wants these shutdowns just to continue. But it's a bargaining chip. And when you have one party controlling Congress and another party wanting things and they can't get anything, they use these must-pass votes as a bargaining chip to get something for it. And we've seen it many, many times before, and apparently we're going to keep seeing it.
Yeah, you know, Ron, you've studied Congress and the history of Congress. And one of their primary responsibilities, I would think, would be to pass a budget and, more importantly, a balanced budget. They haven't done it since, I think, Bill Clinton, if my memory serves me correct. How do we get back on to a process where we're able to do so? Or is this going to be how it's going to be for the next 100 years, concurrent resolutions?
Well, you know, it's a good question because it just seems to go on and on, and nobody or neither party is in a position to change it. But the thing to remember is there really isn't a budget. It's essentially 12 appropriations bills that cover everything, and that's what's important. And that's why it's never balanced. There hasn't been since, like you said, Bill Clinton, because it's not one instrument. And then you have all these supplemental appropriations bills when they need extra money. Like, for instance, after Katrina, most of the assistance that was given to Louisiana and Mississippi came out of supplemental appropriations bills. And they had things like the war in Iraq and everything else in it too. So the so-called quote unquote budget process at the federal government, frankly, is a joke. And they call it that because that's the word closest to what they think they're trying to do, but it really isn't. And it makes no rhyme or reason to it. You know, we went through the whole process, this DOGE process of firing people and closing agencies and all that. And one of the things we talked about at the time was, will this make it through the appropriations process? will, in the end, you know, the appropriations still be high. It'll just move some money around, but that's it. And again, there's no real plan to get us from where we are with high budget deficits to where we'd like to be, which would be a balanced budget. And there's very little real cutting involved. And anytime there is, you know, somebody in Congress is going to oppose it and fight it and build a constituency against it, make it hard to do. So it, you know, the old saying, you know, the definition of crazy is to keep doing something the same way and expecting a different result. And this is crazy.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I don't even care who's to blame anymore, right? It's just I'm already tired of hearing about it.
Everybody is to blame because one side wants something that the other side won't give them. And so, you know, in this case, you know, it's being fought over health care. And nobody is making a case to the American people what the health care issue is that they're fighting over and why it needs to be done as part of this, you know, showdown. So it nobody would have designed the system like this because it really doesn't work. And it's a shame to have to come on a radio show every year and say the same things over and over. But that's in effect what's happening, you know.
No, it's true. It is. And it's, you know, people are, they're so tired. And then we wonder, you know, why we have the apathy that we have, right? Relative to voting and government. And, you know, we're in the midst of a very contentious mayoral election, a contentious council races. I mean, you know, very close and you know, and you would hope that you'd have a 70% turnout. If it gets to half of that, we'd be lucky.
Right. No, I mean, that's the way it is. That's the way, and it's a game now. You know, the whole thing has become a game because, you're doing the shutdown game, and then they do the debt ceiling game. We have to raise the debt ceiling to pay off the national debt. And it's the same thing. The side that doesn't have the votes to get what they want on the House and Senate floor, use it as a bargaining chip. And it's just that simple, you know. And the other side doesn't want to give, but ultimately people do give. And the giving process can be very sloppy. And it can allow things to pass that maybe they wouldn't have ordinarily passed before. And that, you know, when you have a knife to one another's throats, that's the kind of thing that comes about.
Got a text here. I had to chuckle. What happened to of the people, by the people, and for the people? It's a good question.
Well, you don't matter
anymore.
well, they're the ones who sent these people to Congress.
That's true. People. That's why you have to investigate the candidates and get out and vote, right?
That's exactly right. And everybody has to take responsibility. Look, it's not the job of the average voter to solve these problems. I mean, half of what's going on, way more than half of what's going on, we don't even see. It's wheeling and dealing back and forth, and the average voter isn't part of that. But it all, you know, you never hear anybody on television anymore say, well, we need to sit down with the other side and work this out because nobody's all right. Nobody's all wrong. Let's get it done. You don't hear that anymore. You just hear Democrats on television say that the Republicans want to destroy health care, and then you want to see the Republicans on television saying the Democrats are destroying the country and they want illegal immigrants to get health care And it goes back and forth, and you don't even know what's true anymore with it.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So,
you know, it's interesting. I had someone stop me the other day and said, you know, what do you think about this kind of autocratic approach that Donald Trump takes? And I said, well, that's a pretty broad question, but I would kind of sum it up this way. I think it doesn't really matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. Some do it in an overt way and some do it in a covert way. And I find that every administration engages in it. Just sometimes you find out about it and other times you don't. And I said, under this Trump administration, it seems to me he's more overt. He wants everybody to know that he's pulling the levers. Most others don't want anybody to know that they're pulling the levers. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that is true to some extent. You know, you could make an argument that he's gone way beyond the normal approaches to using power. But one thing that Trump has been doing consistently since his second term started is he, like you said, he wants everybody to know he has the power and to know that he will use it and that he will punish his enemies. And he does that in terms of Congress and domestic politics, foreign policy, foreign trade. The tariff situation is the perfect example of that, that he created issues where the U.S. would have leverage so that he could use the power of the presidency to force other countries to do things that ordinarily they couldn't be forced to do. And you know, there's multiple ways how you could see this if you like what he's doing and if you like the policies that he's pursuing, as most Republicans do and conservatives do, then you're happy about it. If you don't like his policies, you're not. And if you're somewhere in the middle and maybe you like some of his policies, but you don't like the way he uses his power, then you're cross-pressured. And those are the people who will go and determine who wins the election. So, So he's figured out the power game and he's figured out how to use it, to aggrandize his power. And I think he's been very effective at getting the power. The question is he using it productively? Or is it just going from one chaotic situation to another without anything ever really being resolved?
Let's pivot to local elections, a mayoral election, three candidates. Helena Moreno continues to poll somewhere between 49% and 51% of the vote. The other two candidates, Oliver Thomas, Royce DuPlessis, have kind of swapped positions a couple of times, but don't seem to be moving percentage-wise in the polls much at all, which I don't know about you. I found that a little bit strange. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what's happening. The polling I've done showed that over the recent months, with everything going on and people taking shots at her, she kept strengthening. and essentially went from about 47% to somewhere between 50 and 52%. And the other polls are showing almost identically the same thing. And so when people ask me, will she win in the primary? My answer is, well, she certainly can. She's polling enough and has been polling enough for some weeks now to win in the primary. But there's always that but, you know.
Yeah.
And the but is, you know, basically election day turnout. You know, we've had people voting now early. There's 26,000 votes that have been cast. And then you have everybody go to the polls on October 11th.
Ron, let me interrupt you one second. Would you put that 26,000 vote in context for the listening audience?
Well, first of all, it's 10% of the total registration. The registration is 260,000. So that's 10% of the total registration, but it's roughly a third of the number of people who voted last time in the mayor's election. And the turnout in the last few mayor's elections was very, very low. So and in the last governor's election, it was very low here at Orleans Parish. So you've got these important elections and the turnouts are low. It's always hard to use the early voting as a predictor of the final vote and the final turnout. You know, everybody tries to do it. We all look at it and try to do it, but you can't always tell where it goes and what it means. So, and a lot of it has to do with what else is on the ballot. If you have a federal election on the ballot that's going on in addition to a state or local election, it can have a ramification that's different than if you have just the city election as we have this time. So anyway, it's hard to tell. And you know, ultimately, I look at election day turnout as something that happens, not something that's about to happen, because it really depends who votes in election
right.
day turnout. And not necessarily the number of votes cast, but the number of votes cast by different groups, whether it's Republicans and Democrats or African-Americans or whites or people who are neither white nor black, people who live in this city council district where there's a local council race, or city, you know, people who live in another where there isn't. All these things can affect turnout. And right now, it from here on out, it's a turnout game. If we had talked a week or two ago, we would have talked about, you know, what will the candidates do in the end? What will Duplessis and Oliver Thomas do to try to tighten up the lead that Helena Moreno has? And, of course, now it's gotten just about too late for that. You know, the next couple
5 days.
Sure. Damn. You could still have some activity, but for all practical purposes, the election is getting set very quickly. So,
well, I think you would agree that the present mayor has left a landscape for whoever is fortunate or, depending on your point of view, unfortunate enough to win as mayor of the city of New Orleans. That job is getting, it seems, more and more difficult by the day.
Well, it is. And the next mayor, number one, is going to have to fill the deficit hole that all of a sudden we find there is, even though the city's been floating in money, federal money, for some time now. And secondly, the next mayor, whether he or she likes it or not, they have to fix city services. They have to
yep.
fix the operations of government. Because if they don't, they're going to have an increasingly big mess on their hands.
Well, they're going to have a public that's not going to be... I don't know that there's going to be a long honeymoon period for any of these folks, if they're fortunate enough to win.
So. I think the voters expect action very quickly.
Absolutely. As always, we truly appreciate your time, your insight. Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Okunor Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.